live.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kind of Funny podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby loser in San Francisco, a.k.a. the verified one at Tim Gettys.
Let Tim host.
The producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Hello, Greg. How's
the
your
Hispanic
mouth?
Heartthrob Texas. What was that? Wait, you say, how's my mouth?
How's the top of your mouth feeling these days?
Oh, my God. He's the Hispanic heartthrob Texas street Latino heat, clicking heads, ripping to shreds, globetrotting, headshotting, nitro rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
You're getting really good at that, Greg.
Thank you. Well, I had to clear the mechanism. That's all. You know what I mean? And then Nick's offending me. And then, of course, our special guest for this episode. You know him, of course, from a million different things. Most notably, probably Rick and Morty. It's Justin Roiland. Hello, Justin. Well, he froze right as I introduced him.
He's frozen.
It's so good, right? Till then.
This is his whole thing of like, oh man, I don't. Discord's bad, but he can't even.
I swear to God.
There it is. Okay, there you're back.
I have a button I press to just
go for to just freeze. Okay. To freeze frame. You son of a bitch. You know what I mean? Stop pressing the
low
button.
Signal. Low signal.
Low signal.
I just saw my.
This is a disaster. This is great.
This is, I was going to say, this is right up our alley. You know what I mean? Of how it should go with us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Justin, you figure out your Wi-Fi over there. You figure out what you're doing over there.
Yeah, okay, right? No. I think I just fixed it. Yeah, I think we'll be good now.
Okay. Okay. Hey, how are you? I'm good.
I'm good.
Oh, that's cool.
You're good?
Yeah, I know. It's cool. It's been a while since we hung out. What have you been up to? You doing things?
I'm busy. I got a bunch of shit going on.
That's great. We'll talk about that all in a second. What I need now is for you to defend me. All right. I need you to defend me, Justin. All right.
Okay.
Tell me
now,
is there a better treat in the history of the universe than a nice bowl of frosted mini wheats, just raw, not in milk. Just eat them like candy.
Well, that's a dumb question. You're saying, is there a better treat in the universe?
Cause yeah.
I can name many. 90.
Yeah, a lot.
No, it's great. Nick makes fun of me because I eat my
covered pretzels.
Those are really good. Those are smooth too. They don't screw up the top of your mouth.
They're delicious. They're salty and sweet. I mean, there's a lot of things, man.
The
I mean,
top you could of my mouth
there
is not
cereal. You could have shrunk that universe a little bit. If you, is there a better, you know, grainy wheat based cereal than, you know what I mean? Like,
is there a better dry wheat?
Approximately 1-inch by 1-inch cubic cereal.
I would have still said no, because I would want some frosting on it, some blueberry frosting or something.
Yeah.
You know, that's just me.
That's fine, but I'm just saying, like, Nick, you know, I like my cereal dry, Nick, and I'm not going to change for you, all right?
It's not that I don't like a good bowl of dry cereal as a snack. Everyone likes that. That's our God-given right as human beings, is to be able to grab just a handful of high fructose corn syrup and just shove it into our mouths and crunch on it. What I'm thinking, what's crazy to me is that you like the pain. You want, like, it's guaranteed that the roof of your mouth, everything you eat and drink for the rest of the day is going to sting a little bit now because of that.
They call it shredded wheat for a reason. It shreds the top of your mouth.
Shreds the top of your mouth. It's like, it's
is it,
like
is it as bad as the Captain Crunch fucking cereal?
Oh, no. Captain Crunch, the Crunch Berries,
it's
is like
so jagged.
That, you can use that to stand your deck.
That's the only one that I've maybe I don't need enough, wheat squares. What are they called?
Frosted mini shredded mini
wheats. They are frosted. Okay.
So I'm not some kind of psychopath out here just eating little mini bales of mini wheats, all right?
Regular mini wheats. I could have sworn you said normal unfrosted mini wheats. And I was like, hey, is a easy question to answer.
those are terrible.
Those are no good. No good for anybody.
See, Nick, what you're forgetting about the roof of my mouth right now is that it's a lot like the tip of Andy's fingers. Andy, what are you?
Steel.
You're an artist.
Gamer. He's a gamer.
And what happens when you're out there and you're tickling the old strings there on your guitar?
On the keys. Yeah.
You build up some calluses. Mm. So I want to, Andy, show your finger to the camera, right?
You see that?
Nick, imagine the top of his callus fingers are just like the top of the roof of my mouth. All right.
Yeah.
From years of eating pizza when it's too hot.
Just rough and hard. And
it feels like an alligator's back. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
You ever put super glue on those little puppies? You ever put a little bit of super glue on there?
Nothing better than that. Especially when you're when you haven't warmed up in a bit, you're out of practice a bit, Greg. Yeah. I'll get a bit of super glue and just put it all over my whole hand.
It just seems like it's super glue. I mean, I'm just going to unpack
what's
this.
What's the super glue
for? That seems
for?
Like it's cheating. I feel like you're cheating.
The super glue is a protective coating.
Are you super gluing your hands too? Are you playing guitar over there? You
I've
the
done
bass?
It. Yeah. Back when I did music, I would, mm-hmm. I would definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Cause yeah, like you said, if you haven't played in a while, you don't have the calluses, or if you like, I would do at times pick them off like a fucking idiot. and then you're like, oh shit. Why, when you go to play, you're like, oh, why did I fucking
do
that? Do
the nail clippers?
Oh. Yeah, no, yeah, all of it. Because I'm very like, yeah, I like to fucking, you know, when I'm stressed or nervous, I'll just pick, you know, at my fingers. So
every once in a while, I'll destroy the progress of my callus by just getting nail clippers and clipping off the dead skin on my the end of my.
Oh, yeah, no, and then you're good. Like, what did I just feels do?
True artist there, Andy Cortez.
Yeah, because it's almost like, you know, when Tiger Woods goes out there on the golf course and realizes I need to rebuild my swing. I need to start from scratch. Something's wrong. And for me, it's like I need to rebuild the calluses on my fingers. Mm-hmm. And you just put a bunch of super glue all over your fingertips.
I don't understand.
You will one day. One day you will, Justin.
When I start golfing.
One day.
Yeah.
All right.
There was, I think Andy's basing that on the documentary y'all watched on Tiger Woods, where he had to go back and like completely rebuild the swing, and then
I see.
I watched like 20 minutes of it. I didn't finish it.
It's an inside reference. Dark documentary
for you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, welcome to the show. It's entirely our inside references. Yeah. You're not going to get anything of value out of this, Justin.
I got a list here. I need a list of inside references.
Justin, of course, congratulations. You're here celebrating the 5th anniversary of Squanch Games. Congratulations. How does
Thank
it feel?
You. It's really cool. I have an incredible fucking team. We're making amazing shit, and we're celebrating the 2nd year anniversary of our first big game, which sold very little copies. Actually, it's funny. It's sort of like a Double Fine game, where it's like it initially didn't do so well, but it's kind of got a good tail, you know. Like we're talking about
Trover Saves the Universe, right?
Yeah, Trover Saves the Universe, and which is available on all platforms, not just VR. Everything. That's the big fucking whiff. You know, we really fucked up the marketing when the game launched, like really bad. So nobody knew it existed. I still have, you know, if I'm ever recognized out and about, which, you know, it's fucking, that hasn't happened lately because of for a while
the world
there's been no about.
But prior to that shit, I would always ask, you know, have you ever heard of this game called Trover Saves the Universe? And nobody knows. Like, no, what are you talking about? So that was sort of my first indication. Yeah, we really fucking fucked the marketing up.
Correct me if I'm wrong, like, you know, as somebody who played Trover in PlayStation VR, like, you fucked up the marketing, sure. But it also, it wasn't, PlayStation was really behind it, pushing it as a VR game, right? They wanted, obviously, people to pick it up for PlayStation.
Well,
VR.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because they were over the moon when we sort of reached out and said, hey, you know, this thing's playing really well on flat screen or on traditional or whatever you want to call it. You know, it's like we were past pre-production, and we were sort of into like headlong into like full on production. We were doing, I would walk into the bullpen and I would see, you know, designers like play testing shit with a controller on a flat screen monitor. And I'm like, I'm kind of watching over their shoulder and I'm like, huh, okay, like if we tweaked a few things and we sort of optimize this could be a really good flat screen title. I mean, yes, there are limitations here because of the VR component, but it's like fucking, it's all the cool shit. It's everything's there, you know? So, yeah. So when we reached out to Sony and we told them that, they were like, they were super into it. They were like, oh my God, a dual skew? Like, we fucking love dual skews. Holy shit. But then it was like very VR, you know, because of the nature of the launch of PSVR and like trying to really push that as a platform. So yeah, and then of course, I don't blame them at all. I blame our, like the Squanch, you know, marketing, you know, we had all the tools available to us. We fucked all of them up. We just didn't have the right people in the right positions, and we didn't know, and it was early days. And I mean, listen, man, try starting a company. It's fucking, it is, there's so many little surprises around every fucking corner. I'm just like, look, I just want to make shit. I just want to make fun shit, you know, but then there's all this like bureaucratic, like, or not even bureaucratic, just bullshit red tape
Yeah.
You know, that you have to
deal with. Oh, you're preaching the choir on that one. I mean, you can talk to Nick about building the new studio and how many red tape conversations there's been of what the city needs and how we need to do this, let alone contractors during COVID.
Wait, you guys are in San Francisco?
Yeah, we're up in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. Good luck. Good luck. Yeah. It's like,
yeah.
I just watched a little mini documentary about a guy who has a fucking arcade / ski ball place. And it's like maybe within 1,000 feet of a school, and there's all these people preaching to the they're like, we don't want this arcade / ski ball play. And I'm like, where the what the fuck world is this city? Like, what's with the
ski ball agenda?
I consider myself to be like center left, like pretty center left, you know, politically, like not to get into politics, but I'm just watching this going like, I don't understand this. Like, this is weird cartoon clown land. Like, I don't get it at all. Like,
it's well documented here in San Francisco that skee ball is the first avenue to drugs and the devil. Yeah. So we can, you know,
that's what these people made it sound like in these city hall meetings. They're like, this is going to lead to cancer and drugs and AIDS.
Which is weird, like, though, because you would think that you'd want kids nowadays to have a place to go in real life. Listen, you know, you'd think like an arcade. If I had a kid, I'd be like, yes, go to the arcade, be around,
make some friends,
see them in real life. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I guess not in San Francisco. I don't know. I mean, it seems like that's probably a better choice than maybe some of the other places to go to in modern day San Francisco. But who knows? Anyways, not to sidetrack. But yeah. I'm sorry.
We're even talking about it. We're having a conversation.
The studio red tape. No, but I mean, yeah, like, but anyway, so yeah, we fucked up the marketing. We whiffed it. And, you know, as a result, I think, you know, this game, which honestly is like, you know, I think it's one of the things I'm the most proud of as a writer, creator, and as a gamer, you know, like, I mean, I sort of realized like, I don't know, like, I was like, I kind of tapped into all of this, like, just deep buried gaming knowledge, game design knowledge that I had sort of like accumulated over my entire life and sort of didn't realize was there, you know?
And in
the early, but before I partnered with Tanya, like the early days, I was like writing all this shit down in my notebooks and game design and playing a bunch of VR and like testing VR and all this shit made me sick. And I was like, how do I make a game that doesn't make me sick or doesn't make anybody sick? But still takes you on a journey across all kinds of cool, weird worlds. And you have what I wanted was a lot of NPCs or weird characters that were there to say a bunch of shit about what you were doing, very aware of you, you know, like that was the number one thing. And that was what I was really missing sorely at the time in VR. I think there's more of it now, which I really appreciate.
I want to go back before that, because you mentioned that it's a pain in the ass to start a company, but how do you go from, you know, voice acting on a lot of cartoons to saying, I want to create a game development studio? Like, what's that process like?
I think it was just, so we had like a few months off between seasons 2 and 3 that I demanded. I was like, I demand.
I'm putting my foot down. I need a month off.
Yeah. I was really burnt out after season 2 of Rick and Morty, like real bad. And, I was like, I'm pretty sure it was 2 months. I was like, I need 2 months of just nothing. And in that time, of course I fill that time with work, but it wasn't work.
Went back to work.
There's a difference between like bills you have to pay work and then like just creating a bunch of cool ideas, you know, right, just like coming up with cool shit. And that was more what it was. And it was just like, you know, I was free. I had no shackles on me and I was just, you know, coming up with stuff. And I was like, you know, and also just so happened to, you know, meet Chet Falasek and a bunch of the guys at Valve and get my hands on a Vive way.
Oh, no big deal.
Yeah,
just met this guy.
Yeah, no big deal. Just a mind, my fucking brain was melted and exploded, I had room scale VR in my front living room 8 months before anyone else is going to get it. And I was inviting everyone I could think of over to play Job Simulator, the two levels I had. Every time I was reaching out to Alex Schwartz going, hey, can I show them the fucking the store level, the convenience store level? And he's like, yeah, who is it? Yeah, okay, that's fine. But no, I was just like showing it. I was showing the whale thing, the what was the company that did the crazy underwater? Is it
Shark?
I can't remember their name. I don't know, whatever, it doesn't matter. There was a bunch of great early day Vive stuff. But anyways, during that time, I was
filling sketchbooks. The tower defense bone arrow one.
Oh shit, my connection unstable? Hold on. I swear to God, I just spent so much money trying to fix my fucking internet. Am I good? Or is that?
Yeah, you look great to us. Yeah, you're fine for us.
Okay, I don't know what that was. Okay,
if you want to throw the people who screwed you over under the bus, go for it. We're fine.
Yeah, we're fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't even know what to say about it.
Potential partner.
I don't know, because honestly, I don't know if it's Spectrum or if it's them. I just, whatever. Anyway, I have full bars. That was sort of my main job, was like, can I just get a fucking signal in the house? Okay, but anyway, yeah. So, you know, I was kind of filling sketchbooks with all of these sort of hypothetical VR concepts. And I got more and more into it and more serious about it throughout the course of that break. And also that's the break that I was working on Solar Opposites, sort of coming up with all the crazy shit for that. And yeah, by the end of it, I was like reaching out to UTA and meeting with Ophir Lupu, who's over there as the head of the video game team. And I was just like, hey, I'm really serious about this, you know, like, and then I got introduced to Tanya. I met a handful of producers, you know, because it was like, you need a producer, you need a studio, you know, person that can do the shit you don't do to partner with. And so, yeah, I met with her and she was integral to the studio. Cause that was like, you know, once I met her, it was like, okay, game on. And then we took this pitch out that I had, and Sony was like, we want to do this. It was John Drake, and it was Adam Boys.
Sorry, I had to work with them.
Geo, and
thank God they're all gone. You know what I mean? Yeah. Thank God. Ryan came in with the broom and went
just the hell away.
Dude, like, wait, you're behind the Trover deal? Get the fuck out.
No, I miss all those guys. I'm sad. I mean, listen, I'm you know, like Greg is there, Greg Rice is there, which is fucking cool. But like, you know, I mean, yeah, I don't know as many folks there now. And so it's a bit of a bummer, but those guys were so fucking cool. They were like, look, you know, the game I pitched to them was very different than the game we ended up making. Like the game I pitched was a room scale game. It was a shooter. It was a room scale game. They just said, look, we don't give a shit. We love this so much. We want to be in business with you, whatever. Let's just do it. So we did a deal. And then I sat down with the hardware, and I was like playing a lot of like Samsung Gear VR stuff with a, you know, gamepad VR basically. Yeah. And then that's when I started to realize, like, okay, my favorite game in this world, the seated VR, is a platformer. I just fucking couldn't get enough of these, like the City Repairman, and there's a ton of good platformers, VR platformers, but yeah, so I was like, I want to make a really badass fucking platformer, but I want to be able to explore the world. I want to be able to meet a bunch of weird characters that know what I'm doing, like we did in accounting and all that kind of shit. So, but yeah, like Sony was, I don't even know. Sorry, what the fuck was the question? I'm so sorry, man.
You're doing it. It's just
this, like, isn't a typical interview. Don't worry about it. You just talk. We're here to talk to you about this thing in your life, and then whatever stupid thing we bring up, you don't have to worry about.
Yeah, I was just curious. Okay, cool. I was just curious about like the start of how do you make a fucking studio, and is it something that you had been putting on the back burner for years until you eventually hit your burnout and said, "I'm gonna actually do this now."
No, yeah. So this it happened very much during that break, and it was with it was once I met Tanya, and that was through, like, you know, Ophir and Cliff Blazinski and a few other people, and they all kind of said Tanya's the partner for you. Are you guys all there? Can you hear me?
We're here.
You're good.
Okay. Thank God, because you guys are all frozen for me for some reason.
We're just listening so intently.
I can hear you guys, but you're not moving. All right. So yeah, and then it was sort of like, you know, Once I partnered with her, she really brought the muscle in regards to staffing up a team, built, you know, the I mean, listen, she was learning too. I mean, we were both learning, like, what do we do? How do we do this? I was more focused on the creative, and she was more focused on the infrastructure, the operations, and the staffing. And then of course we met with everybody in key positions, and, you know, I've got people on the team that are in director positions that were there from that very initial, you know, beginning of the studio. So, you know, and of course she left, you know, everyone I think is aware that, you know, she took off for greener pastures, and, but she was, I mean, we're still good friends, and she was like, you know, the studio wouldn't exist without her, you know, or at least it wouldn't exist in the way that it exists without her. So, Super, super grateful to her. But yeah, and then it was a bit of like, okay, now I'm spinning a lot of plates, but you know, I have this great team and I kind of knew what I wanted to make. And really we sort of just with Trover, we were kind of winging it a lot of the way through in a good way.
Sure.
I think it helps the game. I think when you play the game, you can hear a lot of the stuff that you might not hear in another game, which is like, you know, a lot of loose dialogue, a lot of improv, a lot of fucking around, in a good way, you know?
That's a question I have, I guess.
Which is kind of interesting. I think Trover is like the Interdimensional Cable 3 kind of in a way, because we didn't get to do it for the show, season 3. And we still haven't done a third one, but like, we keep teasing it, but we haven't done one yet. I think there's literally 2 teases in season 5, and people are going to be, I guarantee people are going to be pissed on both of those, but they're going to be like, oh fuck, it's fucking Interdimensional Cable 3, but
Trover.
Not.
Buy the game, yeah. We fucked up the marketing. That's where it is, really, right? That's where it is. So my question for you is like, you know, talk about Accounting Plus and you talk about Trover, right? Both games we adore here at Kinda Funny. Of course, you can check out the PlayStation VR show all about Trover Saves the Universe at kindoffunny.com/Trover. Let me check
huge
my notes.
Plug. Huge yeah, plug.
Only 7,000 of you ever watched that. So get your asses in gear, kindoffunny.com/Trover. Go watch that. But you know, my memories of both Accounting and Trover are being the VR headset and laughing my ass off. I remember once playing at the office and taking it off, and Tim was like, "What are you playing?" And I had to explain that it was one of your games. How hard is it to nail your kind of comedy inside a video game? Because you're talking about improv, you're talking about that, but like, obviously for games and comedy, both are so reliant on timing. How do you do that?
So we give ourselves a decent tail. At the end of production, like our production schedule is sort of unique in that we have a lot, I don't want to say a lot of time, but we have an additional window of time, you know, once we hit beta to kind of really polish the writing. Sure. In sections that need it. I'm not like a Trey Parker type, where I don't want to accuse Trey of anything that is
not talk shit, talk
you know,
shit.
Not on point, but I'm not talking shit at all. But like, I think some writers, if they live with the joke for too long, it loses its, you know, it loses its punch, or it starts punchy. To wear. Yeah, it starts to wear off. And I think I'm not one of those folks. Like if I find something really funny initially, it may not make me laugh later on, but at least I can remember like, okay, this is a good joke. Like this one's good. I don't want to change this. I like this. But then there's a bunch of jokes that aren't good, that are legitimately bad, that need work. And so we focus on those, and but when it comes to gaming, it's like writing a TV show that someone can reach into and fuck with, right? So you're writing a bunch more shit. You're writing a ton of variables and branching things that all have to kind of make sense within the context of what's going on. And I don't know. I mean, it really wasn't that hard, believe it or not. I mean, I think the new game we're doing is way fucking harder. And that's on me. That's my fault.
Man, are you sure you should be running this company? You're talking about the fucking the marketing. This new game's really hard.
Yeah, no, the new game's going to be great, but it's just going to be a lot harder to do than Trover, because it's just a lot more to write. There's a lot more writing, but yeah, I think, I don't know. It was pretty like similar. It was like, look, if something's funny, it's funny. And if we can surprise players, like my biggest thing was, as much as we could up until we really had to cut it off, I wanted to have stuff that players were getting surprised by. Like I wanted players to be, you know, blown away or surprised. If they tried to do a weird thing, there would be a response to that. You know, that was sort of what I really wanted the game to kind of show. But
I froze. No. This Spectrum internet in this house.
What? We need Hollywood, to know.
Hollywood celebrities, they're just like us. Their internet sucks.
We're so close to getting the answer.
Maybe he's really contemplative about his answer. You know what I mean?
It's just that I think, Greg, if you're going to do that, you have to go with a cereal that's got a coating on it, which is
The frosting. Like a honey nut, it has the frosting.
Cheerio would be slick and it would go into your mouth.
But it doesn't have the taste. Honey nut Cheerios suck. If I'm being honest, can we be honest right now?
Guess who you see eating Honey Nut Cheerios
all the time? Fucking babies. And you know why? Because they can't have real cereal. They can't have some shredded mini
babies. Are untainted real by cereal. All the fucking politics candy. Of the real world, right? They're just pure beings that understand.
Nick, next baby you see, give it a spoonful of salsa and see how it likes it, and it won't. That's why babies are
you're
dumb.
The biggest idiot I've ever fucking heard.
You don't know. You work for me, Andy. So how big of an idiot does that make you? You know. I mean, huh?
A bigger one.
Yeah, you goddamn son
of a bitch.
How the
hell are you going to say Cheerios are over Honey Nut
Cheerios? Cheerios, I get. And even then, it's like, whatever. They're inoffensive. It's fine. But Honey Nut Cheerios are like the de facto standard.
That's a default.
It's bland bullshit. That's what it is.
When you say cereal, you say cereal. I think Honey Nut Cheerios. I do.
100%.
Like cereal, you say, paint a picture in your head, Andy. Andy, close your eyes. Close your eyes, Andy. Lick your lips. Paint a picture in your head of cereal. What do you see?
Hey, sorry. I have no idea what the fuck just happened there.
That's all good.
It's fine. Now we're talking
about cereal. It's okay.
Yeah, we're back to cereal here. Honey Nut Cheerios, is that a good cereal, Justin?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I wouldn't say it's a... I mean, listen, if you were starving, you know, if you were really... If you had just gone like on a fucking hike and you hadn't eaten all day, like you'd probably be like, fuck, this is fucking... Every bite is delicious. not like Fiber One, you know...
Yeah.
Whatever those like gross little, you know, where you're just like, oh yeah, this is just even if you're starving, you're probably not gonna want to eat that.
Nobody wants that. Honey Nut Cheerios can get out of here. All right. They're just not it's nothing special. It's for babies, and then you get taste buds and you can eat other things, and that's what you move on to.
It very clearly is for babies and for old people. Like, I don't think I've ever seen an adult.
Ever seen a cereal that's fun? Go, hey, we're heart healthy. Well, this is gonna help you. This will keep you from dying. Like, you know, what oatmeal says. And you know what oatmeal also says? Put a bunch of
oatmeal
shit in
fucks,
me.
Though.
Put a bunch of shit in me. Yeah, no, oatmeal's great.
I put a bunch of Honey Nut Cheerios inside a little cup, just one by one.
Really? Do you guys remember oatmeal swirlers, or what was it called? Oatmeal swirlins, or whatever. It was like oatmeal, and it came with a pack of like shit Go-Gurt? You would kind of just squeeze into it, like a
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I think I remember what you're talking about. Where it would come with like a brown cinnamon swirl that you would like squeeze into it.
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a little malto meal.
We can all agree that cinnamon is kind of like the best add-on to a lot of
like a sugar
things,
cinnamon,
right?
Not normal like cinnamon.
Cinnamon sugar, yeah.
Because like people who put a dash of cinnamon in their coffee,
delicious.
It's not working for me. I need it to be mostly sugar with a dash of cinnamon on top of it and like gooiness.
Go to hell.
Anyway,
I like cinnamon by the spoonful. Just
no, you don't.
No.
Get out of here.
Damage your lungs. Don't do it.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
I have a bullshit question I want to ask you.
It's all bullshit
questions. I've been thinking about something was proposed to me recently, and I kind of got stuck on it. And the thing is, there's some smarty pantses out there. Kevin, I'm sure, is going to chime in and have the obvious answer here.
Sure.
But the question is simple: would you rather stay in prison for 1 year or stay in prison until you complete a Rubik's Cube?
Oh, for me, a Rubik's Cube all day.
Because you just got that shit down. Because I have understanding of these damn Rubik's cubes and how they work.
I can do a cube. My best time is 1:12.
So holy shit! Yeah. You're not in jail that long, then. That's great.
That you're not getting through booking. They're gonna get you fingerprinted. Yeah. Like, I'm done. Let me out.
Unless they make you go through booking and then you get the Rubik's cube and then you're like,
now here's the big question for you though, because like obviously, what if they handcuff your back behind the. Yeah, behind your back, right? You're in the squad car.
Oh yeah, no, I need to see it.
You gotta see it.
Yeah, no, my friend Bobby can fucking do it behind his back, and I think he looks at it and then he knows what to do. Which I'm not there. I'll never get there.
Bobby's a fucking badass, man.
Yeah,
that's probably. I've never solved one, but I think I could get through it before a year.
I think I could do it like in a week, probably. I think it like I might luck my way into it, honestly.
What?
But you might not, Andy.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I might, you know.
There's a lot of like once you get deeper in, it's like you're almost done with it. There's a lot of just fucking it. A couple of this and a couple of that, and you're back to square one, and it's just like, oh fuck.
So now, did you get good at it, Justin, by like watching YouTube, or did you do it by practicing, or you like how did you?
Yeah, like I learned, I memorized the algorithm. So like it's just there's different algorithms that get you there quicker. But no, I mean, I needed something to fuck with, like. I needed a fidget thing, And those fidget spinners were fucking stupid. And so I wanted to
fuck like, you, Tim. You suck.
He's got one. No, I like a really good, nice, fluid, like squishy, spongy kind of Rubik's cube. Not an actual Rubik one, but like one of the ones that are made in China or in Asia. Like those ones are really nice. Like they're spongy and squishy, okay, and like they just feel good to fuck with. But I was like, well, if I'm gonna fuck with this, I want to know how to solve it, you know, so I can solve it and shake it up, solve it and right, you know, shuffle it up over and over. And so that's sort of that was my motivation for learning it. But I basically learned one layer at a time, kind of slowly but surely over the course of, I don't know, like a couple weeks or something. But fucking, I know a guy who learned it in 3 days, and I was just like, fuck. Well, I don't know if I put that much focus into it.
Yeah, maybe he did like 8 hours a day. You were like 30 minutes a day.
He was fucking focused. He was on it all day for 3 days. I was sort of like, you know, fucking with it, and also in the writer's room, and also mm-hmm. this and that, and launching boards and doing all this shit. But so it took me a few weeks. But no, it's one of the things that I'm fucking grateful I know, because I have one with me everywhere I go. It's a great thing to just, I would have one right now, you know, if I wasn't.
God, I wish you just pulled one out. That would be the most amazing.
Like, for a second, when you asked, and he was like, oh, I can do it quick. And he angled his camera. I was like, is this motherfucker about to solve a Rubik's Cube?
I don't have one in here. I wish I had one in every other room practically, but there's not one in here.
Is it the solving it, or is the tactile feel of the switching that just kind of gets your brain going?
Several
years ago, there was a Kickstarter that popped up that, it's this company that was starting this thing called the Fidget Cube. And
oh, I saw that.
This thing kind of exploded. It was like maybe 2013. It was a long ass time ago. And I remember backing it, and I was super stoked, and I ended up moving away before it ever shipped to me. So I was pretty bummed out about that. But then like a bunch of fucking random sites started just bootlegging them and making their own versions of the Fidget Cubes. But those things were, you know, similar to me. I have ADHD. I'm always fidgeting. I'm always tapping and drumming, and I'm tapping on my legs and moving around. I can't sit still. But this thing had like, it was essentially a cube, and on one side it might have a joystick. On the other side,
yeah,
it would have
switches. I know the thing. Yeah.
It was just like a nice little feeling thing. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, it has like an analog joystick on it.
Yeah.
Like a GameCube fucking.
Thing, yeah, it was like a PSP almost. Yeah. Like it was just kind of like a flat thing to move around. Yeah. The little nub was really nice.
So there are cubes that are absolutely beat that thing to death. But they're like $60, or you know, anywhere between 30 and 60. Like, but they're worth it. They're really worth it. They're fucking amazing. I'm trying to find the name of it, of the good one. Not to fucking
like
bore
nice
you guys.
Materials.
With. Oh yeah, like it's just like juicy and like it's like
the way you talk about Rubik's cubes is so crazy. Like, you know, the ones from Asia that are really,
you
want
to get the ones from Asia? They got that good squish to them.
The one you want is a GAN. It's GAN, and then it's got magnets on it. It has little magnets in it, so it's got that nice like kind of.
So it clicks.
It has a good feel like when you turn it kind of snaps. Oh dude, it's so nice. It's so nice. And then
go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I'm used to the Rubik's Cube. you go.
Just that much of a delay. Just that much of a delay that's gonna do that. I like the stickerless ones. The GAN around $30. That's probably the winner. And then there's one that's $60 if you want like the Cadillac. And you can change the magnets out and stuff. But they're on Amazon if you look for them.
That's where I found it.
The Magnetic Speed Cube and GAN. So yeah, if you're a fidgeter and you need that shit, like there's nothing better. I've tried it all. I've tried the speed cube. I've tried the little fidget cube. I've tried the spinners. I've tried everything. There's nothing better than a Rubik's Cube, than a good fucking well designed Rubik's Cube.
It's that not thing where I don't an think official. I don't think of myself as a fidgeter, but then like I'll notice like there's before I moved, right? I had that Thor hammer that I would twirl the entire podcast. And then recently after the Gen podcast where I was using the headphone splitter, I had this weird headphone splitter. I was slapping around my hands while I talked to everybody and all this weird stuff. I don't know what it is that makes that so satisfying.
I'm spinning my phone right now. With
yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like, what like about that actually works? I don't know the psychology.
I'm just laser focused. I don't need any of this.
Sure. You are. Nick. Sure. You are. You drift off. Greg, Google something.
Dustin, yeah, I was going to ask, you know, when you started Rick and Morty, your first kind of major star, I remember episode 3 HBO show, why am I forgetting, John
Game of Thrones?
Laura Kett.
John Oliver. The you had John Oliver as one of your guests.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Anatomy Park episode. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've wondered, since you've done the episodes, you've kind of had some big names step in every once in a while to just play cameos, and not even necessarily cameos, just maybe the actual guest star of the episode. Are there any celebrities that you want to get in the future, or people that you would know, they would definitely say no, but I would love to get them?
Yeah, there's like a lot of the folks we've gotten that was because of, you know, us reaching out and just trying, like, let's just see, because a lot of people like to do animation because it's like, you know, you can book them at a booth wherever they live. They go in, you record them over ISDN.
Right.
They don't, it's very easy, and it's like 20 minutes of their time or something. And then they get to, a lot of times it's like their kids are fans of the show or something, like Susan Sarandon was like, you know, her kids were at least I'm pretty sure that was the case. Her kids were big fans of the show.
That's what she told you, but she's just a huge fan of the show. She doesn't even have children. She's like,
I don't ever admit things I'm a fan of. No, but it's sad because like we really wanted to get Bowie back way back, you know, and we had no idea. So we asked him for like four different things and we kept getting no. And at the time we had no idea. Nobody knew that he was pretty sick. We had no idea. Nope. The world didn't know. So we just kept asking him, hey, come do this, come do that. I can't think of anybody off the top of my head. I know I'm going to be like, fuck, later, but, there's a lot of awesome fucking people I'd love to work with out there. Maybe Kristen Stewart would be cool. Right. She seems like a fucking interesting person. I'd love to get her behind the mic and just see what kind of, like, I don't know if she's done any voice acting stuff. I'm sure she probably has. She must have. But
I can't think of anything interesting that she's done. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know anything off the top of my head, but it'd be interesting to see what she could do in a more like in sort of a dramatic, grounded kind of thing. You know, to but also like some like we like Christina Hendricks in Solar Opposites is fucking amazing. You know, it's like she's really fucking good. And she's directed like, you know, it's like live action. It's like, you know, we really need to push the, it needs to be that big. It needs to be that, you know, level. Like you're acting in a live action thing.
Yeah, sure.
It's harder to do when you're just in a room and there's just a microphone and then you're literally alone. And then behind glass is a bunch of nerds that are telling you like, okay, so there's a giant spider and you know, you gotta be afraid here. You know, it's like it's hard sometimes for actors that are more into that are more used to live action and sort of like, but I think a good actor can do anything. So I don't know. There's a lot of people I'd love to work with. Of course, Bill Murray would be amazing. But I also I'd also be afraid. I'd be like, I don't want to piss him off.
You do that thing where he calls you like 3 in the morning and be like, I have 15 minutes right now. Do you want to do this? You're like, yeah, fuck, I'm coming.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Do it over the phone.
No, I would make it work. I don't know. I don't say that he gets pissed off easily. I'm not trying to accuse him of that. I think Dustin Hoffman would be cool to work with. There's a lot of like legends, you know, obviously.
Sure.
Al Pacino, you know, all the legends. But then there's like younger folk that would be fun. It'd be fun to get Seth Rogen to come in to do something. I think Rogen, since I fucking did the slip.
Yeah, I might
Joe
as well.
Joe Rogen and Seth Rogen together, the Rogen brothers.
The family? You're going to get the Rogen boys
that's
in
an
this?
Interdimensional so cable together. Episode. That's an interdimensional cable.
Two Rogen brothers. Yeah, it's the Rogen brothers. That'd be fun. But I feel like
Timothy Chalamet would be good also. Just kind of a random person to just be on the show.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot of fun to be had. I was gonna say this is gonna be a weird deep cut because my memory is this way, but like the good son, not Macaulay Culkin, but Elijah Wood. There you go.
If you want to do a good son podcast, we will turn on a dime and we are all in. I read the novelization, sir.
That movie messed me up.
I almost threw a fucking what was his Mannequin? Name, Mr. Jumper, Mr. Suicide off of a fucking. I almost copied that movie. My mom caught me and she's like, "What the fuck are you doing?" Oh man.
Yeah, if you're not familiar with The Good Son, they build a mannequin and throw it over the side into a highway and cause a giant car accident.
Oh,
and
I'm
like,
so
you watch that, you're like,
too.
I should do that. That's what I should
do.
Oh my God. I mean, I didn't want to cause the. I think in my mind, I was like, I just want to dangle him. I don't want to actually throw him. I don't want to go all the way. But like, you know, of course, it would have slipped out of my hand. And next thing you know, oh my God. But
terrifying movie. That movie scared me a lot as a kid too.
Yeah. I mean, the one at the end where she has to pick between her real son and Elijah Wood, and then she just lets the real son go, right?
Just but there's no again go. In the novelization I read that I got from
here we go. The kid tries to stab her.
No, she has flat. She's holding them over the side, and she remembers. She keeps going back in her head. How could her other kid die in, you know, an inch of water or whatever it is? And she has that realization. She finally wrestles with it and understands that Macaulay Culkin drowned it, or the, you know, her son, but drowned right. him. And so that's when she lets him go. Can you it's imagine, way better in the book. You have to read the source materials.
Can you imagine being the director telling like a 7-year-old Macaulay Culkin, okay, so you're a murderer in this movie. Like, that's got to be fucking traumatizing.
Macaulay Culkin was ready for it, but he was like, I want out of this fucking role.
What's even worse is being a kid and knowing him for Home Alone and all the fun shenanigans.
Yeah.
And then you see him and you're like, oh, I want to see this movie, another Macaulay Culkin flick.
He's terrifying.
And then you go and you're just like, oh, this isn't Explorers. This isn't a kid's fucking movie. And then you're learning all this awful shit to do. Like, yeah, make a fucking dummy and throw it over an overpass. You know, it was like, I was like, whoa.
The crazy gun he made too.
Yeah, he's
like, Yeah.
Remember when he was in My Girl and he was just this? He was like, he did Home Alone and then he did My Girl. And then he was like, I got to break out of this. I'm going to be a serial killer for my next role. Just dope.
I guess he already was training to be a serial killer in Home Alone, just with all the.
Yeah.
Kind of.
That's the prequel.
Yeah, the movie where no one dies. It's almost Mac and Me level of no one dying. It's like, just doesn't matter. Nobody ever dies in Home Alone movies, no matter how bad the fucking, you know,
getting a blowtorch to the head, nail through the foot, getting hit in the face with paint cans over and over again, bricks dropped on you. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Kinda Funny Reactions. It's our show that we do weekly, sometimes multiple times a week, covering, reviewing, recapping, reacting to the latest in movie and TV, whether it's a movie trailer, a new episode of Star Wars The Bad Batch, which episode 1 and 2 right now, we have our thoughts over there. If you want any of the MCU shows, Falcon and Winter Soldier, WandaVision, all that stuff, it's there. We were even doing some movies like The Mitchells versus The Machines, which is out on Netflix now, and you can catch our thoughts on Kind of Funny Reactions, a show you can get on youtube.com/kindoffunny or podcast services. Search for Kind of Funny Reactions. Please subscribe. Please leave good reviews. Please thumbs up, 5 stars, all the good stuff. 10 out of 10. It's all good stuff that helps us a lot, the algorithms and whatnot. But Kind of Funny Reactions is something that we want to grow and we want to push further. And the more people watching and listening, the more things we'll react to. That's just kind of how it works. We've been doing the Bad Batch for Star Wars. I'm not sure if we're going to do it weekly. If the reaction is there, we will. So if that sounds like something you're into, please check it out. But we're hoping to do a lot more reviews and stuff going forward. So please subscribe to that. Or if YouTube's more your thing, youtube.com/kindoffunny. Kind of Funny Reactions. It's a damn good time.
No broken bones.
Is it wild to you, Justin, that in 2 years, Rick and Morty will be 10 years old?
I hadn't even thought about that. Is that true? Yeah, that is true, huh?
Like, I for me, Rick and Morty is like a 5-year-old show that I stole.
December of 2023. That's bizarre. It's fucking bizarre.
It's really,
but I will say, I will say it's moving a lot quicker now. Scott Martyr joined the team back in like towards the tail end of season 4, and he's made a huge difference just in terms of like getting us on a proper, you know, just getting things moving, like, you know, for, you know, just to get it, get the show moving along at a faster clip, because we would have been, you know, 10 years in and 5 seasons. Yeah. It would have been like one season every 2 years kind of thing.
Where does Solar Opposites start? Like, how does that deal get into place?
That was at the very tail end of season 2 going into that break. And it was kind of like, I don't know. I just wanted to,
You wanted to be more busy.
I just wanted something that was a little bit sillier or a little bit looser, you know, because I feel like Rick and Morty's sillier.
Too serious. Rick and Morty's too serious. It's too buttoned up. That's what I'm always saying.
That's why I stayed away. Yeah.
It's very, very mathematically. I don't even know if that's the right word, but it's like the story breaking is like very like airtight, or at least it usually is. That's sort of usually the way we do it. And I felt like I wanted something as sci-fi and as crazy, but like that was just looser and sillier and didn't have like that we could hand wave away a lot of the stuff that on Rick and Morty wouldn't get hand waved away. It'd be like shit that we'd be like, no, this doesn't make, this has to make sense. This has gotcha. To
no, this is the logical. Real Morty. This is the real Morty. The other one is the yeah, all that sort of shit. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Solar is, I'm actually really shocked at how well it's doing. Cause I was really afraid. I was like, it was my second thing. And I was like, is this just going to fucking tank? Are people going to look at this and like compare it to Rick and Morty and just like, you know, kick it out of bed, get out of here. You know, yeah. I don't know. But no, it's doing really, really well. Like we broke the Nielsen top 10. We're the first show, as far as I know, correct me if I'm wrong, anyone, but like, I got some list of Nielsen's streaming numbers, and they started doing this last August. And I guess we're the first show on Hulu to break the top 10, like in the history of this particular, like, you know, metric. Measuring, yeah. You know, streaming measurement tool, whatever. So it's like, that's fucking crazy. That's absolutely mind meltingly crazy. That our dumb little show is the first show to break that top 10. It's dominated by Netflix, you know, it's like mostly Netflix. But yeah, it's pretty crazy, man. It's just way sillier, way crazier, way looser, and just follow the fun and just grab onto it and go with it. And there's episodes of Rick and Morty that do that for sure. Like there's plenty. Like season one, there's a lot more episodes that kind of do that on Rick and Morty than. And I think like in the later, like season five, I feel like there's a little more of that going on. Just grabbing it and going with it. I feel like there's still, even season four, like with the VAT episode, that was one that kind of didn't change much. The Pickle Rick episode didn't change much from inception to final script. It was pretty much, you know, that's what it was. But, right. But yeah, I mean, on Solar, they're all that way. Like every episode is just like, just
whatever's going to happen.
Here, what about this idea? You know, like, oh, that's okay. And obviously there's a lot of like, no, fuck that. Like, that's not good. But the stuff that we like, it pretty much sticks.
Have you ever had any difficulty coming up with new episode ideas? Because it is sort of anything goes with science and physics, and we can kind of make up our own fiction. And do you ever get overwhelmed by that?
No, if anything, it's you kind of have an endless, I mean, you could go anywhere because you've got, well, for Rick and Morty in particular, you've got high school stuff you could do. You've got marriage stuff you could do. You've got just general family stuff you can do. And then you have like literally a portal gun that can take you to anywhere in space time. Not necessarily time. We don't fuck with time too much, but like you can go anywhere in space. Or
that's too far.
Realities.
That's a bridge too far for Rick and Morty. All right. We're not fucking
time. Time is just a fucking, yeah, man. I mean, unless you really don't give a fuck, you know, I think on Solar Opposites, we'll fuck with time. Cause it's like, who gives a fuck? Like, you know, whatever, we'll fix it this way or we'll undo it this way. But I think on Rick and Morty, we tried to fuck with time at the beginning of season two. And it was the first episode that really melted everybody's brain and just kind of fucked everything up. We got through it, but it was just like, yeah, even the characters in the episode, we created these fourth dimensional time beings that we designed specifically to show up if we ever fuck with time as sort of like omnipotent testicle headed, you know, just like fourth dimensional time cops that just are like, don't fuck with time, you idiots, you know, like get the fuck out of here. Time is just fucked. I mean, even watch Back to the Future, the trilogy, it's like, there's so many fucking loopholes and plot holes and, you know, paradoxes and things that they just kind of hand wave away. And like on our show, or at least on Rick and Morty, we don't like hand waving shit. It's like, we want to know, we don't want people to be thinking like two seasons later, well, hold on. Like that doesn't make sense because of the time episode when they blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like,
okay. I was wondering if the hardcoreness of the fan base sort of made you all feel that way and say, yeah, maybe we should care more about the canon of Rick and Morty and whether, you know, that thing is factual because it happened here, you know?
Yeah, I think so. Wait, I'm sorry. I didn't hear the beginning of that.
I was wondering if it was the how hardcore the fan base became with what actually is canon that made you feel that way, or whether you just kind of felt like that inherently.
Yeah, no, that's just us. Like we kind of, at least for me, I keep the fan base stuff at like a very long arm's length. Like, I mean, I'm very appreciative and sort of like surprised, or just, I guess the show was never in my mind going to be that big or as big as it is. It was sort of a big surprise. I kind of keep that all at hand at arm's length. And don't really, yeah, definitely. It doesn't have an impact.
That's just who you are. Yeah.
Oh fuck. Did I break up again? This.
No, you're not good. To us. No, don't worry. I mean, we'll talk about cereal while you're gone again.
Yeah. Your face froze a bit, but we could still hear you.
Now he's super frozen. See?
Oh, now he's super frozen.
Way to go, Andy.
Super frozen.
I'm bad.
I mean, I hate you, Andy.
I fucked this up.
Andy, what cereal do you eat dry?
Oh my gosh. So many.
What's your favorite cereal to eat dry? Don't say Cheerios. Don't lie. Don't lie for the joke.
Favorite Don't lie for the dry. Joke.
You know he'd do it. You know he'd do it.
He's back. Justin, you're muted though.
All right.
There
sorry
there
about
it
that.
Is. You're back. You're fine.
I'm sending a speed test to my assistant now.
Get out of here with the Cheerios.
Crazy. Are you?
I mean, this is crazy. Like, I literally just got my entire fucking house redone, and it's like for this kind of shit.
This podcast. Yeah.
And like, here we are. Are you guys? Is we're it still happening we're again? Good. Is it happening
no, you're
again?
Here. You're
oh my god.
It might be for him though. I don't know. You can't
oh
tell
my god.
Yeah, see, look at this. Look at this. I appreciated the entire I'm house like redone. The first thing he did was go put up a calendar.
Right now. Like yeah. Okay.
My internet Joel Spencer unstable. Easter egg, Greg.
What he's gonna I can't even tell what's on the calendar.
They're fucking with time in season 5.
Exactly. he gave us all the tidbits there to get them. Here, while Justin figures that, I'll say, of course, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Kind of Funny podcast. If you didn't know, each and every week, twice a week, we come together to nerd out with each other and bullshit around. If you like bullshitting around with us, you go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where you can get each and every episode ad free. You can get it with the exclusive post show we do, and of course you can write in and be part of the show. I love it. So I'm doing all that stuff. Of course, housekeeping for you. Remember, there's all sorts of cool stuff up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames right now. You can go see the Resident Evil 7 clips of Andy and Blessing playing Resident Evil 7 and being scared all the time. You can go over there and you can watch Kind of Funny Games Daily. You can catch PSL of you XOXO right now with our brand new preview, behind closed doors preview of Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. Thank you to our Patreon producers on this show, Joshua Schroeder, Delaney Twinning, Julian the Gluten-Free Gamer, Steve Powers. Today we're brought to you by nobody. I was going to do a Kind of Funny Games ad, but I kind of just did it to you. So
I think it's working. Are you guys?
Yes,
I hear the spiel. I hear the
good.
Spiel.
Yeah, well,
I don't know.
I can fill time back? Like nobody's business.
We hear you.
No
yeah, yeah.
That.
We hear you.
Greg made a whole career out of filling time. Not really seeing anything.
Is this the assistant?
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck is going on. Beat up on this assistant? I don't know if it's this room.
Let's call your assistant right now and figure this out.
Turn around and yell at that. Yeah, yell at that assistant. What's going on? Why is there just a calendar up in my house?
Hey, assistant.
I want to see. He's right down there. Look. Oh, there he is. Look at him. He's got cables in his hand. He's, you know, there's no
that's
real solution
of,
to this problem.
Oh, no. So you are. Are you hardwired into your Ethernet for your computer?
I'm not, but I honestly don't think that's going to matter. And we don't even have. Do you have a connector? Yeah. So we don't have a connector to do it. So yeah,
I would say just.
So he's
just
walking around with that Ethernet cord just
for
sure.
Get a connector. You know where they are. There's one right there. We can.
I was
going to
say just for the future. I think that made a huge difference for me and my Mac, because the Mac for some reason just did not handle Wi-Fi Zooms and stuff like that. So the second I hardwired in, that cleared it up a little bit. And they said, you can get one of those nice little Ethernet USB-C to Ethernet connectors at Apple for $300.
No, I mean I have one. I just don't. He knows where it is, but listen. I apologize.
We're furious.
This is our
this
podcast.
This is a very serious. We take our show,
our podcast,
our performance on the Kind of Funny podcast. And we take it as seriously as you take time travel on Rick and Morty. All right.
I'm making a mockery of this podcast today.
Here's where I want to jump in. I know you got to get out of here soon. I want to get you a question from patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over there, Eagles fan Jordan wrote in. I want to read the entire question, but then piggyback off of it. Hi, Justin. Thank you for the constant laughs over the years. Rick and Morty has grown into something pretty unique. You've had a lot of pretty big name guests on the show. The show has been referenced or appear in quite a few movies and shows, including both versions of Justice League. And I can only imagine how often people yell lines from the show at you on the street. Is there a moment that made you take a step back and say, quote, wow, this is surreal. How did I get there? And what I want to add as a spice to this show, of course, Justin, is that what I always loved about you and still do, but not, I'm not having the same thing, is that every year at IGN San Diego Comic-Con, you would show up and demand to see Craig Harris. And this was years after Craig Harris had left
IGN. I was going to bring it up.
And it was that thing of like that, like I didn't know who you were and I wasn't watching Rick and Morty yet and I wasn't aware, but you were always the Craig Harris guy, which meant so much to me because of course I worked with Craig when he was still reviewing games. And that also proved to me that you were reading IGN from a very young age, that you had been around a long time. Like you're one of us. That's what always cracks me up, is that you're like totally just a IGN nerd like the rest of us.
Yeah, I mean, my handheld game collection is very valuable and it's 100% thanks to Craig Harris. But I think like I have Shantae, you know, and like I'm the original, like, you know, it's crazy. But I think the most memorable kind of or the weirdest, you know, fan screaming quotes at me recently was guy rips his mask off and just starts spitting on my face, you know, screaming. No, I'm kidding. But could you imagine? That'd be awful. You'd be like, wait a minute. Yes. It's not a, oh my God, my Roomba is going, hold on. I need to stop this.
That was so loud. That was amazing. I've never heard a Roomba kick up that hard. Like it had extra work.
It's like a flying Roomba. You see it
come by. You must clean the ceiling.
That scared the shit out of me. I didn't know what the fuck was happening.
No, Kevin, no, we don't forget your Roomba.
I think fuck man, maybe one of the most memorable is like Catalina Island. I was on Catalina Island and there was a fan there who recognized me, who I became friends with, and I'm friends with him to this day, and he's amazing. We text all the time. That's how I got my PS5 is through this guy. Like I literally, like, his name is Thomas. He's fucking awesome. And now we're into like vinyl video game music records. So he's, sure. He's like letting me know about all these weird, you know, like Genesis and SNES games on vinyl, like the soundtracks.
The Mondo ones?
Those, but also like deep cut weird fucking shit. Okay, if you plug this in, is it going to like fucking disconnect me or here, just do it. See what happens. I'm going.
Find out what happens.
Just fucking do it. Here we go. Let's see. All right.
We still hear you.
Okay, yeah. It's still on the Wi-Fi. Yeah. Is it plugged into that thing? Yeah. Okay. I don't know.
Today they just released the Cobra Kai vinyl on Mondo, and I pre-ordered the shit out of that. Very excited.
Yeah. Man. Well, Mondo did a release for Trover Saves Universe, actually.
That's right. Yeah, I saw it when I was checking out. Didn't buy it though.
Yeah.
Oh, one of my friends works at Mondo. I got a friend who works there.
Oh man. Yeah. Alex Pardee did the art for it. Like he's a fucking badass, amazing artist. It's really cool. I don't know. I think,
are you so far gone now into being Justin Roiland, being Rick and Morty, that like it's lost on you? Cause even, you know, what if you remember the Comic-Con where I finally came over and introduced you, it was after somebody was like, that's the guy who made House of Cosby's. And I was like, excuse me. Like I fucking adore House of Cosby's. You've always been the Craig Harris guy. And I just wanted to say, I love House of Cosby's. You're like, I think you were dressed as a turkey and you're like, all right, see you later. And you just left. And we've been friends ever since. But it's that thing of every time I see like Eagles fan Jordan is talking about, you know, Rick and Morty in Justice League or something like that. It's crazy the way you and the show have permeated pop culture, you know, like,
surreal. It's super surreal. And it's sort of, it is in a lot of ways, there's a sort of a disassociation from the reality of it, I guess. It's super surreal. It's very weird. Dan and I never expected the show to get that big at all. Like speaking for myself, I always sort of wanted, you know, just a show that was big enough that it would maintain, you know, more seasons, that we would just get more seasons and be able to keep making it. But for it to get this big, it's kind of insane. You'd think that they'd pay us, you know what I mean? That's the thing that I can't wrap my head around. I'm like, why are we not getting paid? You know, here we are.
It's for exposure.
This,
you're doing it for exposure.
Mm-hmm. I guess that must be what they think. It's very odd. Like we just don't get paid. It's like, okay, how do you have one of the biggest animated shows on television and still not have any money? You know what I mean? Like, isn't that the fucking weirdest thing?
I mean, like, you can't even buy internet that works. Yeah, it's a problem.
It's crazy, man. You know, like, yeah, I'm sure I'd love to see how, and I know time and like, you know, DVDs and we missed the boat on all that stuff. We came later, but like, I'd love to see Seth MacFarlane's, you know, situation. I'd love to see his bank account.
Oh,
like,
insane.
How the fuck, right? Like,
it's gotta be, he's like, what, they're on season like 17 and they caught it right as like animation was hot.
And also just, DVD, you know, stuff was going on. I mean, you know, listen, I'm not complaining. Don't get me wrong. I just think, look at all the good I could do in the world. You know, give me that, siphon some of that money over to me.
Look at how many, let me vinyl records good. I could buy of old video game themes.
I could buy that Wii, with that fucking Wii, the sounds of the Wii record that's like $400. No. But like, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's like, I'll take that money and do good shit with it. Like, I'll help people. Like, give me that fucking money. Warner Brothers. No, but like, seriously, I think like the bigger, most more important thing is with the game studio, you know, at Squanch Games, like our real, like the main big goal is like for us to just be able to keep making shit. Like we just want to keep making weird, crazy, fun shit. I have so many weird games. The team has a bunch of weird ideas for fun games. We have a very unique perspective and take comedically. And, you know, Trover is, you know, aside from us going out for financing, which we could do, you know, finding investors, or, you know, right now with our current game, like that we're making, well, whatever, I won't get into that, but it's like, we're making something really fucking cool. But it's like, yeah, like Trover sales are really important. I think fans of Rick and Morty knowing that, hey, you know, there's a video game out there that I can play on my Switch, that I can play on my PS4, my Xbox, my PC, if I have a Quest, if I have a Vive, if I have a PSVR, I can play it on those too. That's really fucking funny and really innovative and really interesting. Doing a lot of really good narrative design stuff that's sort of unique, I think, in the gaming space. Maybe not innovative or anything in that particular area, but like certainly unique and fun. That's kind of the big thing that we're pushing this month. You know, it's like, we've made a bunch of funny trailers. We made a bunch of funny cartoon or like animated shorts with Trover kind of like shilling his game with different characters from the world. And they're really, really good. And the whole messaging, all of the messages, it's not just a VR game. And also, we didn't sell that many copies, and boy, wouldn't it be nice to sell more copies so we can make more cool shit. I mean, that's the dream at the studio is us being able to be to have a decent revenue stream so that we can sort of independently just make more cool shit. And I think sure. That's every indie game studio wants that. Every creative endeavor, I think everybody who's independently creative and wants to make really cool shit, they just want a good cash flow stream so they can do that, you know? Yeah. And that's always been my dream. As a kid, that was my dream. I was like, oh man, I remember thinking back when I was younger, if I won the lottery, I would just build a studio and make shit. You know what I mean? Like most people are like, I'd buy a yacht. I'd go this, I'd do that. I'd buy a mansion. I was like always focused on making shit. I just want to make crazy shit.
Well, that's probably why people vibe with your work, right? Because you can always tell people that are just making stuff to make money. It doesn't have the same heart and passion. And I think that's, it kind of speaks volumes to your character. Just like if I gave you $50 million, would you still do exactly what you do right now?
Yes. You know? And I mean, aside from the money joke earlier, like that is the truth. Like I never thought about money, like ever. Like Rick and Morty seasons one, seasons two, not once did I forgot I was getting paid. You know what I mean? It was just like, holy shit, I'm finally making a fucking show. This is what I've been working towards for all these years. The paychecks, I probably forgot to cash some of them. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't even remember. Like, you know, it wasn't until season three when things got really difficult that I was like, how much are we making on this? Like, what's going on here? Like,
fuck, this isn't
who's getting
it.
All the money. You know, we're seeing all the toys. Like who's, so where is this money going? Like, how much did the show make this year? How much did this IP earn? Like $450 million. Who's getting that money? Like who, where does that go? Like that was season three when that started happening. And it wasn't about like, I want money. It was more just like, what the fuck is going on? Like, right. how is this fair to the artist? And by the way, it's not like art, like this industry, all entertainment industry, all sectors, the music industry, TV, I don't know how movies are because I haven't done that, but I know music and I know TV, it's all designed to fuck the artist. It's 100%. That's why YouTube, that's why like Patreon, all that shit is so powerful. Mm-hmm. they fucking hate it. And of course it's constantly getting fucked with, the algorithm's getting fucked with, all this shit is happening. But like, yeah, like these big corporations, they want to own 99.99999% of the IP, the revenue, everything. They'll figure it out on paper how to fuck you. I don't know. I shouldn't be talking about this, but like, I mean, it's true, man. Fine.
With that though, are you interested at all in working on established IP, or are you purely just like, I want to do just my own shit?
I'm way more into creating, because like I've got so much shit in my head that's, you know, world building, character building. I'm not opposed to taking something, but I think I would want to take something that's so deep in the dirt that no one gives a shit about or that everyone hates,
like Earthworm,
because then the bar is super low. Like I would like I would love to take a Jar Jar Binks, for example, and like do the Jar Jar Binks show and just, but then recreate it, repackage it, do it on like change all the rules, like put him on a weird asteroid with a weird family of Jar Jar Binkses, and and you just make it a whole new show and you fucking make it awesome, you know? And then everyone's like, I fucking hate Jar Jar Binks, but they're like, no, have you fucking seen it? Have you seen the Jar Jar Binks show? It's fucking crazy, man. It's not what you think. He's not underwater and that bullshit. It's not that. He's not underwater.
He's on an asteroid, man.
He's on a fucking asteroid. Crazy ass totally weird different. Aliens, and he lives with a family. You know, it's fucking crazy. and you know, and that would be fun. You know, like I would want to do that. I would too. But I think that there's less incentive to do that than there is to create original, like really awesome, innovative, original stuff and like develop that. And really in the game space, that's sort of where that's where I'm the most excited. Cause it's like, fuck man, like creating new IP in that space is really exciting to me. If we can get something to sort of click or at least market something properly, you know, get it marketed properly. That'll really swing the doors wide open for us as a studio, because we have all these like smaller games that we want to make that are just really fucking cool. But we're in the middle of a big game we have to finish. You know, we got to get through this big game that we're doing, and then once we're out of that, we're gonna make all these smaller fun games that are just really fucking cool and sticky, and like we've got prototypes for them and demos, and it's crazy. What, you know, I don't know. It's just, yeah. And none of that stuff is like, oh man, I wish I could get the, you know, such and such IP, or I wish we could do a, you know, I'd rather just make new shit, honestly.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because, you know, you mentioned earlier Double Fine, right? At the very top of the podcast. And that's like what they do, right? And why I think Double Fine's so special is that they do, you know, they do the game jams, they do whatever, but they are a team that has a creative idea and goes and makes it. And granted, I know Psychonauts 2 is what they're about to make, but most of the time it isn't, hey, let's do a sequel, or hey, let's work on an IP. It is very much like, what crazy thing do we want to do right now?
Yeah. And it's tricky because you look at Double Fine's track record, they're fucking incredibly successful critically for the most part.
Yeah.
And they have a major cult following, and I'm one of them, but they were never really like massively financially broadly successful. And so that's my big fear, is it's like, okay, how do we tick all the boxes? You know, that's sort of, I really do think Trover, you know, obviously that game was made for VR initially, but then we started pivoting to make it a dual SKU. And I think we landed that plane really well. It's just more of an issue of marketing, but this new game is very much thinking about all that stuff. It's like, okay, how do we make a really broad, awesome title? I wish I could talk more about it. It's like, I have to talk in like,
yeah, you know, can, just tell us the title. Just review it right here.
It's okay, so fucking cool. But it's like, you know, it's like, yeah, it's way more broad. It's a broad game. And I think, I don't know, we're trying to think of like, how do we do something that people are going to be able to pick up and play right away and get, but also is doing a lot of innovative stuff within that packaging. And then eventually it's just going to be like, you know, more of that obviously down the road, but like the next move for the studio is going to be a bunch of fun, small swings, like, you know, cheaper price point, but like really cool, really fun, replayable, interesting concepts that we've got, that we've been working on. It's pretty crazy shit.
One last question before we let you go, because you have a hard out pretty soon. What are some of your favorite games of the last couple of years?
Oh man, my memory's so fucking bad, but I'll tell you what I've been playing. Let me think. I just started Resident Evil 8. I haven't put that much time in it. I wouldn't classify that as, okay, well, let's see. Favorite games. Fuck. I'm gonna be punching myself because I have
this
so many.
This guy's never played a video game. He doesn't.
I know. It's awful. I know. I have.
No, it's one of you get put on the spot. You can't remember what you had for breakfast this morning. I hate that. I hate that feeling.
Mini wheats.
That's a snack. Ghost of Tsushima was fucking amazing. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Tsushima. Okay, yeah. Like that was a fucking joy and a treat. And I love Sucker Punch Studio. So anything those guys make, I'll be there for. I obviously played The Last of Us 2 during the pandemic from beginning to end. I had a really good, I was expecting the ending to be that Ellie and Abby were going to end up together in the gulag from this new crazy, weird psychopath cult, and that you'd have to work together to survive, and that there'd be some sort of
that would have been a good ending.
That's what I wanted. That's
that would have been a really good ending,
for.
Actually.
And I was like, wait, why isn't that the fuck? Why didn't, and then that didn't happen. And I was just like, what the fuck? Look, I love the game. I'm not shitting on it. It was fucking amazing. And I know it's very contentious and there's all these like angry people, but I thought it was a fucking stellar, incredible marvel of video game, production technology, whatever you want to call it, but design, all of it. But yeah, that ending, they teed it up. I was like, oh my God, okay. I literally was expecting to get captured, thrown into gulag, boom, who am I
in
there
with? She's there, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, and maybe there's a bit of a tussle at first, and then it's like, okay, well, no, if we're gonna survive, like we need to work together, and then we'll deal with this later. And then of course, throughout the course of surviving, getting out, they kind of have to kind of talk to each other and realize they're the same person. And it just made so much sense. But anyways, there's a lot of really cool fucking little retro games, like what's that one that just came out where it's all digital and fucking
Naruto Boy.
Fucking amazing. Now listen, I'm not gonna lie, like I didn't get that far because I did start to feel a little of fatigue. I was like, okay, well, what am I doing now? Like where I wasn't like clicking with it right, like hardcore, but I fucking love
more the concept of it.
Yeah, the look of it, the feel, the presentation, the God damn, it was really good. And I do think if I got a little further, I think it would click. It's like, there's a lot of games, like Witcher 3 was a good example, which is crazy to think, but like I started that game, I played for like, I don't know, maybe 45 minutes to an hour. And it just didn't click for some reason, put it down. Maybe 3 or 4 months later, I came back and I was like, okay, fuck it. I'm really going to give this a shot. Cause I was just in that headspace. And, I put in a solid 3 or 4 hours. And by the time I got to hour 3, I was just like fucking addicted. I was like, it was one of those, it was like an up all night kind of game. I was like, I'm not putting this down until I literally can't fucking stay awake anymore. Go to sleep, wake up, immediately right back to it. And then I was also playing at PC and I was playing it on my little NVIDIA streaming thing.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
so you remember that thing? I was like playing it in bed with that shit. It was fucking amazing. It was probably the worst way to play it, but the lag. But
you're doing
the
squints like you're all up on it trying to read
Yeah,
it.
It's like the screen is this fucking small big UI. And it's like laggy and shit. Yeah. But I was like, I don't care. This is so cool. But I don't know, man. I'm trying to think of like recent stuff because I buy so much shit on Switch. Like I look probably twice a month and I'll just buy a bunch of stuff. I probably don't play as much as I buy, sadly. Like Baba
that's
is
all
you
of us.
Is one that's
all
an
of
older
us.
One. You guys know that game, Baba is
Oh yeah,
you?
Baba is oh, you, yeah.
Fucking incredible. I know that's way older, but
you should
like,
play Hyper Light Drifter. It's a really great game.
I have it. No, I have yeah, it's fucking
fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah. No, it's a fucking amazing game.
Great minds. Great minds.
What's that? What's the other one that the guy the Bastion guys did, the newer one?
Hades.
Hades. So fucking good.
Game of the century.
Incredible.
God damn.
Oh, and then there's there's the PS5
Returnal.
Sort of roguelike. Yeah.
Returnal
that game's fucking
too. Yeah.
Really fucking cool. So yeah, there's a lot of shit. I mean, listen, lately I have to kind of steal the time to play, but it's so fucking important to me to play all the good. Oh fuck, I know a really good one. That I'm fucking in love with. It takes two. Have you guys played that?
Yes, Joseph Ferris.
God, it's so fucking good, dude. It's like really polished, really good, really like well written, funny. The performances are bizarre because they're all mocap, but they're and that weight is there, but it's really funny and good and it works. And just the puzzle design, the game design is just phenomenal. That studio is killing it with the two player couch co-op stuff. Like,
yeah, Haze Light's really cool. And yeah, for sure. Really cool. I think It Takes Two is fantastic. Yeah.
A Way Out is another one. I don't know. Yep. Yeah, there's a ton. I mean, I could sit here and go on and on as my memory catches up. But there's a lot of good stuff.
Well, I know we've already kept you too long, Justin. So I'll remind everybody, of course, 5th anniversary of Squanch Games, 2nd anniversary of Trover Saves the Universe. You do not need to play Trover in VR, even though it's awesome in VR. And you can check out the PSVR show we did about it at kindoffunny.com/Trover. More importantly, one of the notes I have here from a press release is 65% off across select digital retailers as part of the seasonal sales. You can
get Trover. It's on sale. Go buy it. Go buy it. It's a fun game. Check it out right now, everybody.
Get out there and help them make other games, right? That's how it works. Otherwise, they have to go the double fine route and sell out to Microsoft. Is that what you want? You know what I mean? Is that what you want to? You want to see them gobbled up?
Not yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Give us some years. Give us a few years to make more shit.
Justin, thank you so much for hanging out with us today.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thank you, Greg. Nice to see you.
It's a pleasure.
Tell Craig Harris I said what's up.
I will. I'll let him know. Don't worry about it. All right, we'll talk to you later.
All right, see you guys.
All right, bye. And so here's the thing. Tim thinks he can just leave in the middle of an episode. He's bored, so he thinks he can just bounce in the episode and then Slack that, hey, my internet died.
Yeah, my internet died, meaning I had to get lunch.
That's an embarrassing.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a post show to do, all right? And we're just going to strictly talk about Tim Geddes and what we think of this guy. All right, we love him. He's very awesome.
Fucking finally.
He's really great. We love him. He's a fantastic person. We couldn't do Kind of Funny without him. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kind of Funny podcast. Each and every week, twice a week, we come together to bullshit about all the bullshit we want to bullshit about. If you like that, you can head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny where you can write in for us and our guests. You can get the show ad-free. You can get the show with the exclusive post show we do twice a week, each and every week. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. Each and every episode goes live on youtube.com/kindoffunny, Rooster Teeth, and podcast services around the globe each and every week. You can go get a new one up there. We're gonna do this post show now, and Nick's gonna have a lot to answer for. So until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you. I was gonna say answer for you. Serve you. It's been a pleasure to serve you.
Would it be too difficult to switch over to Discord?
No problem at all. Everybody run into Discord, jump in the pool.
Sure.
They're coming. We're going to turn that on. We're going to turn this on. Boom. Wait till they all get in here. Wait. Yeah. One more.
I'm here.
I still got to just turn on the virtual cam. There we go.
And we are living with a virtual cam. And I am a virtual cam. Some Nickies like to be the Nicky. Some Nicks like to Nick. Some Nicks.
All right.
That was the song I just made up, Nick. You know what
that
I mean?
Was good. I've never heard that particular melody before, but it sounded.
I didn't make up the melody. I made up the
lyrics. Oh, okay. So you stole the melody.
Material Girl from Madonna is what we're doing. Are we recording now? Are we into Kevin? Are we doing it?
Oh, we didn't cut.
Okay, perfect. That's why it's here. Here's the thing. We don't talk about. I feel like Madonna has somehow been forgotten by history, Nick.
No,
I don't hear enough about Madonna, and I don't hear her music played enough.
She defined two decades. So
I know, but where's the conversation about her? Where's her music being played on the radio? Why isn't it being optioned in commercials? When I go to the Spotify playlist, I'll play some of it here and there, but like it's just not permeating pop culture. Andy Cortez, former member of Ambolina, do you agree?
I totally agree, Greg. I think I don't agree, actually.
Okay,
I disagree.
Well, fuck me.
Okay.
Because I feel like now she still pops up and does
your camera's off, Andy. I don't know.
What is she doing?
No, his camera's not off. It's there.
My camera's on.
Oh, mine's it's just off for me. Sorry.
Your mic is quiet.
Discord's doing this new thing where you have to like refresh sometimes.
I disabled his video because sometimes I disable the videos when we're streaming so it doesn't eat up bandwidth.
Gotcha.
My bad.
Quick question here. Andy,
is it about Madonna?
No, it's about Ambolina.
What's up?
Fair enough. Then I'll out.
An equally popular band.
Are you like totally? Madonna's not a band, right? Are you out of Ambolina?
That was a state of mind, bro.
Like, is Ambolina over?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Ambolina. Awesome. It's been 20 years since the last time they played.
I don't know, but maybe they meet up once a year. You know?
No, we just with an Ambolina. No, like we're all still friends except for the lead singer.
Is he just a dick? Did he get egotistical?
He just wasn't a very good person and lied a lot and was like a didn't want to work and all sorts of stuff like that. And then he found God and apparently he's a better person now and great for him. That's I'm happy for him. But yeah, there was a while there where like it was pretty contentious between all of us. Yeah.
Okay.
Which is unfortunate because like now, he's so talented.
Who owns
what
the
if
name?
We made Greg the lead singer?
Oh, like, I mean, nobody, Kevin. I don't know.
So Emelina doesn't have to be dead is all I'm saying.
Like, I love how in Kevin's brain, you guys were Metallica and you had this giant brand with, and people owned it. You're like, they never signed
that's
a contract. They just went and gigged together.
You know, that's what I'm saying. Well, I mean, like, but whoever claims, you know, the right, I think that's, it's like land, right? If it's unclaimed, you can go in there and stick a fork in the ground.
You're right.
And it's
stick
yours.
A fork in it. He's done.
Exactly. Here's the thing. I think we do a lot of fun Patreon tiers, as you know. You know what I mean? When we get to January, we always have the thermometer.
Mm-hmm. You're making sense.
At what part of the thermometer, Andy, do we need to put on there? Ambelina Beatles reunion. Because what I'd love to see is you guys do one more show from the roof of the studio. You know what I mean? You ever seen that thing the Beatles did? Where they're on the roof?
Oh my gosh.
Fucking cool. Kevin, are you familiar with this?
When we finally do the kind of funny studio launch party, you know what I mean? In 2022. We're gonna check
yeah, Nick.
Everybody's COVID free. Ambelina headlines from the top of the building.
That's pretty simple because all we would need to do is just like we can just rent equipment from Guitar Center. We don't need to buy shit.
Here's the thing.
You just talked yourself out of getting a whole bunch of new equipment. Yeah, that's a stupid move. But
I am planning on buying a new guitar actually.
About this yesterday on what was it yesterday? It was a couple days ago maybe. Yeah, it was when Nick was playing Uncharted. And we saw a guitar, and I was like, why doesn't Andy have a dope guitar like that? And Nick was like, I've got the credit card out.
What kind of guitar was it?
I forget what kind of guitar it was, Andy, but the guy was cool playing it. Instead of down here where the frets kind of meet the little, like, the pickups, he was playing it, like, all up here. And it was the coolest way to play a guitar.
Was it an electric guitar?
Yeah, it was electric guitar. So But instead of playing it, like, strumming down here, you know, where, like, you normally would, he, like, walked up the frets and was just like strumming it up on the top of the thing, and I thought it was the coolest.
Was he finger picking too? Like, was he? I think using his fingers to also hit the frets. His right hand.
It looks like maybe I don't. You're getting into more technical. You're like blue belt level right now. I'm still white belt level here with this. Okay, I don't understand how any of this works, but it was really cool. So we thought we need to get you a new guitar, but it has to be like an '80s guitar. So it has to have a sharp angle on it. Like a big old like arrow.
Claudio from Coheed and Cambria uses the Gibson Explorer. If you look that up, you'll know that's probably exactly what you're thinking of. The Gibson Explorer. It has a very polygonal. Ambelina has a very polygonal sort of sharp obtuse angle to it.
That's the one. That's so. Sick.
That's the one you're thinking of. Yeah.
What is
polygonal? We used to call Ambelina polygonal. I could never remember the name of his band.
He couldn't remember Ambelina, so he called us polygonal.
I just thought Andy was a video game and art nerd, so I just thought, of course he named his band polygonal.
Those Gibsons very good, very expensive as well.
Oh, shit.
So the thing with the guitars is, Greg, let's say you want to buy an Acura, but you can't afford it. You get a Honda, right? Or if you want to buy back in the day, you wanted to buy a Toyota, you couldn't afford it, you bought a Scion, that sort of thing, you know? When you want to buy a Gibson, but you can't afford it, you get an Epiphone. That's the brand below it. They look exactly the same. It's just, you know, cheaper materials. The pickups aren't as good. The hardware isn't as good. If you want to buy a Fender, you buy a Squire. Okay. But the thing is, the entry points of the Fender and the Gibson very different. Like, the entry point of getting a Fender, about $600, $500. The entry point of getting a Gibson, about $1,000. So, like, I could be way wrong there. I probably am. So, it's very, very different, you know, gaps in what you're trying to do.
Sure, sure, sure.
But it is like Coke and Pepsi. Are you a Fender guy? Are you a Gibson guy? I'm a Fender guy.
Tim, welcome back to the Kind of Funny podcast.
Anyone rock out with this?
Tim, you missed as you left. Justin told us the title of his new game and said that we could all be a part of it, except for you.
Wow.
Except for you.
That's crazy. Man.
What we've now discussed here, Tim, is that at the Kind of Funny studio launch party in 2022, asterisks, you know, COVID and life allowed. We're gonna do an Ambelina reunion like the Beatles did when they played on that roof. You ever see this footage of them playing on the roof the last time? Uh-huh. The last time we're gonna do that with Ambelina. They'll play on the studio roof.
On the roof, okay.
So
I like that. Jam football, just a couple
points of feedback for that. I think the neighbors really loved when the Beatles did that. because they were the Beatles. I don't know if like Tom's Automotive is gonna really be into Ambolino rocking out.
You never know, man.
Fucking Safeway down the street. Look, all these people trying to live
all the neighbors behind us are just gonna be like, huh.
We had a huge following in the west areas of Texas that we didn't think we did.
Do you think in the neighborhoods of Daly City, you think there's going to be one or two?
Who knows? There might be a couple people. I remember y'all from Facebook. Y'all almost won that competition for the Warped Tour. I remember that.
Dude, could you even just dial it back on it? Could you even fucking imagine you're in London and you're just living your life, and all of a sudden you hear Beatles music? Like, who the fuck is playing Beatles music so loud? And you look out your window, and it's the Beatles on the rooftop next door to you. That would be just an no one's ever going to believe this. I hope someone's filming this because no one's ever going to believe they did
that. The acoustics are terrible. What are they doing?
It's just all going, Andy, it's just going out into this. It's just going out. Yeah.
It's not bouncing off of anything.
Unbelievable.
How about that visual?
That shit wouldn't happen today. The cops would have to shut that shit down immediately.
There's no PA. They're just playing straight out of the amps.
That was awesome. What a cool day. What a cool day that
went. So we just had Justin Roiland on. That was cool. That was fucking awesome.
Cool guy.
Our lives are dope. Greg, you're about to fucking host a live stream today with DJ Khaled and Megan Fox.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
and I feel like kind of funny. He's just grown to this point that things happen. We obviously have conversations and Slack things that go down, but like, this is just a thing where Greg and Joey are going to hang out with DJ Khaled and Megan Fox. That's just on the calendar. And we're all just kind of like, yeah, that's happening.
That makes
sense. That shouldn't be how things are.
That's life.
Yeah.
Yeah. All for LG, the OLED TV. LG OLED. So much.
Are you kidding me?
Love them. I got one.
Yeah, we all do.
They're great TVs.
That's 3D. I don't know.
Well, I don't.
And he will one day. He's one of the last converts.
But I'm at the point where it's like, dude, I don't ever watch TV anymore just because of the location of it. When it was against this wall, I watched TV all the fucking time. And now that I have to lay at a weird angle, I just used my iPad. That's how I've been like watching a lot of my shit.
So why don't you put it against the other wall again? Is it just you just?
I like the placement of it here. It creates a lot more room right here because these things are sort of switched around, and my window is no longer covered. I have access to my window now.
And yeah, that's smart. I understand that.
What's up, Kev?
Like, if we talk to the landlord, can we mount it? Because you can have it right there.
He's got a window there.
Well, I would love that, Kevin, just to have like the really nice rotating sort of thing.
Yeah, I can get one for $80, maybe $100, a really nice arm that'll come out maybe 2.5 feet. You can turn it to the left, and you just lying in bed.
I'm going to paint a picture for you on that one, Andy.
Eyes wide shut,
you're watching it. You fall asleep, you wake up in the middle of the night to go take a pee, gouge your eye out on the side of that TV. Greg's in there, right behind the TV.
I was holding up the TV the whole time.
I think you say you wake up in the middle of the night. Suddenly, you're on the loft bed. Kevin just built it.
He's like, Kevin's holding you up. I'm waiting for a part. He's like, I'm waiting for a part to come from Home Depot.
Andy, the loft bed would change your world. I just want you to know that you'd be like,
so uncomfortable, and you'd fall out of it.
It wouldn't be uncomfortable, Nick. If Nick built you a loft bed, it would be uncomfortable.
You can get a loft bed.
You can. First of all, you can build it yourself. Or you can buy. It's expensive. It's expensive. But that seems like a taxable expense.
Kev, stop talking. I'm worried about your voice,
you
buddy.
You sound like you're at the end of your rope, Kevin. You just sound like you're at the end of it.
And like, I haven't done anything. I don't know why it's just going away.
You got vacation next week, Nemo.
Be safe.
I'm excited for you.
You got that.
Before the show went live, when we were just like in the little pre-show thing, like, because I don't know what's going on, Kev. I haven't heard about this. I obviously hear his voice and hear that something's wrong. But then he described what happened as he sneezed so hard that it ripped his throat. And I'm just
it was worse than Yeah, I mean, you've all heard me sneeze. It's very
I've done that before. You rip a vocal cord you didn't even know. Mm-hmm. You're hitting muscles you weren't aware existed, you know.
Yep.
Kevin, they're casting for Legends of the Hidden Temple. I don't know if you guys saw this, but really I'm officially signing me and you up as a team.
I want to see that.
I'm hoping this happens. Because I feel like the two of us,
we got this shit on lock. I've never seen the show. Well, I mean, I have, but like,
you knew one by Cool Greg, dude. Like, are you kidding me?
Cool Greg is no way more.
Cool Greg and Andy. Cool Greg and Andy on that one.
Well, I think Kevin's problem solving abilities and like puzzle solving abilities would go very well, but Cool Greg could do any physical challenges that is necessary. But yeah, I would like to pour some slime down Tim's pants. Was that Legends of the Hidden Temple? Was that the slime one?
Oh, don't worry, he's gonna get slimed.
Can't do this on television.
If we're on TV, he's gonna get slimed for sure.
That's guts. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's your post show. Thanks for hanging out with us today.
With slime. It's poorly. Not even part of the show.
Do it. You put on the thermometer. Put on a thermometer next time we do
slime tips pants.
Slime tips pants. thanks for your support on Patreon. We love and appreciate you. Until next time, Andy, play us out with some Ambolina tunes.
And he'll say anything. And I'll be there. I can't think of the harmony right now.
No, it was good though. He did it.